take your Bible out and turn to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. Let me give just a little instruction. If you have a cell phone on, we would want you to either turn it off or turn it on vibrate. That way it doesn't interrupt our service. Might I say also, some of you young people, maybe you've not been here much or never been here before, during the preaching, we don't play, we don't goof off, we don't look at our cell phones, we don't talk. I'd want you to know that so that you would know exactly what would be expected of you. And if you see some of the young people that come to our church often behaving that way, they're doing it in opposition to the way we want them to behave. And so we wouldn't want you to get caught up in that at all. I want you to look at Matthew chapter 17 and find, if you will, verse number 20. And then stand with me. Matthew 17, verse number 20. Now, if you look back at me for a second, let me say a couple things right here at the beginning. In history, there have been many, many what you would call infamous betrayers, cowards, if you will. Boy, when you hear the name Judas Iscariot, you immediately think of someone that betrayed. Benedict Arnold. People, when they think of Benedict Arnold, they think of American Turncoat, a betrayer. Many of you may or may not have heard of someone by the name of Tokyo Rose. Tokyo Rose was a disc jockey during World War II that had a radio program called the Zero Hour. She was born in Los Angeles, California, but used her propaganda and her program against the United States troops as a part of psychological warfare during the war. And she was tried and found guilty of treason because she was a betrayer. Marshal Pétain was a well-known Frenchman from World War II who had actually been a hero during World War I for the French, but during World War II, he sided with Adolf Hitler and was found guilty of treason and then sentenced to a life in prison. In the Spanish-speaking world, a lady by the name of Doña Mariana is known as a traitor. Been a lot of traitors in the Bible and a lot of traitors in history. Today we're going to talk about, the Bible says, that the Son of Man shall be betrayed. We're going to see that in the Scripture, then I'm going to talk to you about that very thought. The Son of Man shall be betrayed. Matthew chapter 17, starting with verse number 20, the Bible says, "And Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out by prayer and fasting. While they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, The Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And on the third day he shall be raised again, and they were exceeding sorry." And let's pray. Father, help me to get the point across properly. My personality and my inabilities not limit your purpose for this truth. Holy Ghost of God, I don't ever want to be a betrayer of Jesus. May all of us be careful not to betray the Son of God. May we not have a spiritual Benedict Arnold in our midst. May there not be a Tokyo Rose or a Judas Iscariot among us. Bless us now. Help us to be better because we came to church. Please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat if you will. Jesus, here in this passage of Scripture, is in Galilee and he is speaking to his disciples. And he makes this statement. He said, "I'm going to be betrayed." And a verse later, the Bible says they were all very sorry. I have to tell you something. That makes me sorry too. That makes me sorry too. I certainly do not want to ever betray Jesus Christ. I hope that you feel the same way. But here, that sad statement is made. It said, "The Son of Man shall be betrayed." That Son of Man was Jesus Christ. And of course, it is in reference to the soon betrayal of Judas, but not only. for Judas to know, but for all of us to learn. In this case, the loyal one is bitten by the vicious dog of disloyalty. He's sold for 30 pieces of silver. You know, it would have been bad enough had he been sold for $1 million, but for 30 pieces of silver? What an indignity. Will you betray Jesus for less than that? I wonder who stayed home to watch television today instead of coming to church, and they betrayed Jesus for a TV show. He is betrayed, if you know the story, Jesus is betrayed by a kiss. When Judas goes to betray Jesus Christ, he kisses him. Maybe a betrayal that's a punch in the nose, I'd understand. A betrayal that's a right hook to the gut, I would understand. A kick to the shin, okay, but a kiss? A kiss is that which is an expression of love or tenderness. And yet he was betrayed. Boy, what a cruel mask of treachery is bestowed upon the Savior on this day. He's betrayed by a kiss. I wonder how many people say, oh, I love Jesus, but then you turn around and betray him within a sentence of the statement of loyalty. A kiss. He's betrayed not by angry words, not by violence, not by condemnation, but by a so-called friend, Jesus. Betrayed by the one who had, he had just recently shared bread. Betrayed not by just a sporadic church attender, but this Judas was in all the services, but betrayed. Betrayed not by a casual follower, but a rabid follower. Betrayed by one who used to say amen during Jesus' preaching and was very proud to be counted a part of the group. Betrayed by one who had watched and helped him perform miracles. Do you understand that Judas had watched Jesus Christ open blind eyes? Do you understand that Judas had watched Jesus Christ give hearing to the deaf and strengthened legs of the lame and raised the dead and calmed the sea and fed the multitude and blessed the children? But yet Judas betrayed him. Betrayed by one who had at one time gladly sought and followed his counsel. Jesus was betrayed by one who at one time greatly admired him and greatly loved him, I think. But betrayal had stung him like the sting of a scorpion. Betrayal had come to Jesus like the bite of a rattlesnake. But wait, no rattle. No rattle. He's bit. He was attacked by a so-called lamb, not an apparent wolf. The betrayal came not by a vicious, bloodthirsty bloodhound of an enemy, but from an inner circle comrade of his. Betrayed. Not with a clenched hand, but a handshake. You understand, he was betrayed. Now, folks, we look out into the world and we look among our peers, if you will, and there might be some that you say, boy, that person, they may betray Christ, but I've got a hunch that nobody's seen it coming. There was a betrayal by an inner circle comrade. Betrayed by one of the 12. Not by the wicked group of Roman government liberal dogs. No. One of the so-called sheep of the flock. Betrayed by a dove. Not a vulture. But betrayed by one who was to be a lover, not a hater. Betrayed by one who had heard him preach his sermon on the mount. Betrayal stench had been sprayed upon him by a skunk. But that skunk was actually with the sheep. Betrayal's poison had been administered not by a punk that walked the streets, but someone that had watched him administer the balm of Gilead to help people. Betrayal. I think betrayal hurts, and hurts bad enough when someone obviously does not care and they betray you. But I'll tell you what, when betrayal comes from one that is masquerading as a lover, a friend, wouldn't it be even so much worse? If you listen to the scripture, when Jesus predicted his betrayal, It said this. He said, "The Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And the third day he shall be raised again." And then it says, "And they were exceeding sorry." And I'm sorry too. I'm sorry that betrayal came to Jesus Christ. There's a lot that I could learn from it, but I'll tell you this. I want to make dead sure that I'm not the one that betrays him. Say, why? I've tried to be his friend. I've tried to be a part of the sheep and I've tried to be a friend to Jesus and good to Jesus. And I've tried to exalt him, but it's very obvious to me that you do not have to be the enemy of the church to betray him. And I hope all of you will take a moment and make sure that you're not a betrayer. Don't be a Benedict Arnold. Don't be a Judas Iscariot. Don't be a Tokyo Rose. Don't be that. You say, "Well, I love the Lord." You might want to take a good long look at Judas. He had pretty good credentials himself. Betrayed. Stay with me for just a few minutes and let me see if I can make a little more sense of this whole thing. He was betrayed by a man by the name of Judas. Judas was an unsaved church member. In John chapter 6, verse number 70, it says, Jesus answered them, "Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil?" Did you know that you could be a church member and be unsaved? I want to give you a little gentle warning, if I could. If you're an unsaved church member, you are a potential Judas that could hurt the church, but even worse than that, hurt Jesus. You could hurt Jesus. To everybody here, and look up this way, to everybody here, your soul winners and your altar workers, could you please be careful? Don't win them to yourself, win them to Jesus. Win them to Jesus. Listen to this. A lost church member was guilty of the biggest betrayal in history. They were facading as a saved person. They're the ones that betrayed Jesus Christ. If you're a member of this church and you're not saved, that's not how it's done. There's a process that the Bible teaches. You get born again. Then you get baptized by immersion after your salvation, and then you join the church. That's God's process. That's how it's done. And if somehow you bypass that salvation step and became a member, be very, very careful. If I were you, I'd get saved today. Then I would follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Then I'd join the church. I can't see what's on the inside of you. I don't know whether you're saved or not. I'm not here to try to get you to doubt your salvation. I believe if God saved you, you're saved. But I would tell you this. If somehow you sit there and you're unsaved, but you're a part of the church, you need to get that taken care of, because the one that betrayed Jesus was a lost person facading as a saved person. Look, if you sing in our choir and you're unsaved, you need to get born again. If you're a greeter and you're unsaved, you need to get born again. If you're a Sunday school teacher and you're unsaved, you need to get born again. If you are a bus worker and you're unsaved, or an usher, or a deacon, a musician, a leader, a youth worker, if you've been a member of this church from day one and you're not saved, you've got to get born again. And you're among friends. We're not here to embarrass you, but I do want to give you a little warning. If you're unsaved and you're facading as a saved person, you stand the potential of being the great betrayer. Because the greatest betrayal in history came from someone that was a part of the inner circle, facading as a born-again Christian, and they turned on Jesus Christ and put him on the cross. Oh, he went willingly, and he knew, but everybody else was fooled. There are always tares among the wheat. The wheat is a saved. The tares are those that look like the wheat, but they're not the wheat. So I beg of you, for your sake, don't be a potential Judas by being lost in the position of a saved. You virtually become a planted kamikaze pilot within the spiritual realm of the church that way. Very destructive. Make sure you're not the betrayer, as was Judas. But not only that, betrayed, Were there other betrayals of Christ in the Bible? Sure. Betrayed by Peter. There was a moment when Peter betrayed Jesus. Who was he? Peter was saved. And he was a decent Christian at times. Peter may have been the best Christian in the world at the time of Peter's ministry. Every list of the apostles has his name first. He was the ultimate role model of his day. How did Peter betray our Lord? Well, he made the mistake of following him afar off. If you just take a look, you would find out the scripture teaches that Peter followed Jesus afar off. That mistake led to a moment of very severe betrayal. Verse number 58 says, "But Peter followed him afar off into the high priest's palace and went in and sat with the servants to see the end." Let me recommend something to you. If you are a lost church member, if you have given the impression you're saved and you're not, you've got to get that taken care of. You have set yourself up to be a Benedict Arnold to Christ. But not only that. Are you a born-again Christian, but you are honestly a far-off Christian? A far-off? You know what we do? When we go to the ball game, we want to be down front. Let me warn you about something, folks. There's something more important than a ball game. People go to the races. They want to be down front. They want to be a part. Can I tell you, you ought to want to be a part of what's going on at church and don't follow Jesus afar off. Some of you, you get away with it. You just kind of give the impression of a godliness, but it's not, you're not really close to God. You say, "I'm saved," and I believe that you are, but there's more to the Christian life than just being saved. You live right. You behave right. And Peter was following Jesus afar off, and as a result of it, there came a moment of betrayal. When I go to the ball game, I want to be where the action's at. I don't want to be afar off. I don't want to follow the Lord afar off. That's why you need to be in church and you need to be faithful to church. And some of you used to be in your life. You used to be faithful to God and you used to be faithful to church. And the truth is, you would have to accept the fact you are further away from God than what you used to be. You might want to call it backsliding. You can call it whatever you want to call it. But you're not where you used to be for God. You're far off. Now let me warn you, when Peter was afar off, that's when he betrayed. Get it? A Christian that's saved betrayed. But we think the great betrayer is Judas. And obviously, there's a reason why. In other words, there is a behavior that a saved person can be guilty of that is virtually like the behavior of a lost person. Where'd it come from? Afar off. Peter had always been a participator. Now he follows Jesus from a distance. As a result of it, what happened? Peter betrayed. He denied he was even with Christ. You all know the story. He is warming himself. Peter is warming himself at the devil's fire. And people approach him about his Christianity, approach him about his attachment to Jesus Christ. And he denies that he belongs to Christ. What happened? At that moment, he betrayed. He wouldn't have betrayed had he not been following afar off. And you say, "Preacher, it's not my intent to betray." Then you better not be in the realm of the betrayers. They are the afar off Christians. That's where they come from. People who were once participators cannot find themselves happy as mere spectators. Plus, they place themselves in jeopardy of being a betrayer. He betrayed Jesus because of the crowd that he was with. He was warming himself by the devil's fire. And folks, listen to this. You can't run with the wrong crowd and turn out right. You can't run with the wrong crowd and turn out right. I know fundamental preachers that they're just going to have to learn you can't join the local liberal ministerial assassination and then keep right beliefs. When you run with the wrong, you don't turn out right. Saved girls can't date lost boys without betraying their Savior. You say, "Well, how will we win them?" Well, you don't have to get drunk with them to win them. And you don't have to get high with them to win them. You don't have to be immoral and strip off naked to win them. You win them by God's way. But if you follow afar off, you could have you're jeopardizing your strength. And the betrayer of Peter betrayed Jesus. He denied he knew him. He said, I'm not with him. Why? Afar off. He was a far off Christian. Could I recommend that you're not just an on the church property only Christian? Say, what is that? That's a new term I'm coining. The on the church property only Christian. You say, who's that? It's the one that puts on the dog for all of us that they're spiritual here at the church property, but live like the devil away from here. You wouldn't cuss at church, but you cuss like a sailor or a marine off the property. There's certain things you would not do here at church. Why? Well, you think there's a respect that ought to be provided here on the church property. Can I say something? God's everywhere. And we're not to be good Christians just on Sunday, and we're not to be good Christians just on the church property. You're not to live right just at God's house. You're to live right at your house. Be a 24/7 Christian. They asked Peter, are you one of them? He denied. He was ashamed. Don't be ashamed. Don't deny him. Some of you betray him. You're not really committed to the old time religion. There's so much liberal Christianity that you're pumping into yourself, it's pathetic. You may, in the privacy of your mind, in the privacy of your computer and television, think you're getting away with it, but you're not being loyal to the old-time religion. Listen, our church is old-time religion. And I'm not ashamed of that. Neither should you be. Stand for him at church and at work and at school and with your family. But I'll just tell you, Judas betrayed because he was a lost church member. And Peter betrayed because Peter was following afar off. He was distancing himself from that which he said he believed. That which he said he wanted to be associated with. In other words, he had time for Jesus on Sunday, but that's it. Be careful. He was a betrayer. I think you would agree. I mean, I think when he denied even knowing Jesus, isn't that a bit of a betrayal? I mean, if Mrs. Owens and I were down at Walmart and some good-looking woman walked up to me and said, hey, buddy, you married? And I said, no. No. Well, who's that woman right there? I don't know. Would Mrs. Owens feel betrayed? Would I feel dead a few minutes later? Yes. Why do you think Jesus feels? We tuck our spiritual tails between our legs and in our behavior deny that we even know him. Maybe not with our words, just in the way we live and act. Hey, betrayed. Did you know that I find another time, I think he was probably betrayed by what I call the secret disciple. The secret disciple. In Matthew chapter 27, verse number 57, you see this story and some words about Joseph of Arimathea. It says, when the even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. Notice, when the even was come. You say, what's that? That's the evening. When people couldn't see him. He was willing to help out, but not to be associated with Jesus in the daylight. Secret disciple. Secret disciples want the best of both worlds. They want the world to like them, and they want the church folks to like them. Did you know something? God does not need a secret service. So I'm in the secret service. God doesn't need that. God needs visual service. Folks, you need to tell. There's some people that you just need to tell where you stand. You know, don't be afraid to tell people that you go to an independent fundamental Baptist church. Might not even hurt them to tell you, hurt you to tell them which one. I said, Pastor, that's putting it out there. Every week of my life in this community, someone says, I know you. You say, how do they do that? We give out about 25,000 gospel tracts in our county a year. That means everybody in our county or everybody in our city at least has probably received five of them. Oh, I know you. I can't hide. Some of you do, don't you? You hide. Are you part of the Secret Service? Do the people that you work with even know that you're a born-again Christian? Do they even know where you go to church? Does your next-door neighbor know? Does your family know? Are you a betrayer and you're a part of that Secret Service? Are you afraid to tell people who you are and what you are? Do you keep it a secret that you give to God? Now, I don't think people ought to flaunt that they give money to God, but I would tell you this. You don't need to be in denial that you support the cause of Jesus Christ financially. Secret followers are the easiest people for the devil to turn into betrayers. They've already got one foot in the door. Secret. Can you imagine? This guy said, I will go to Jesus when nobody can see me and see if there's anything he needs. Is that the way you are? Do you sneak to serve God? There's some of you who'd have a very difficult time being a part of our bus ministry. You say, why? Because bus workers are out among the community all day long letting everybody know who they are and what they are. The reason why some people, under the sound of my voice, never go soul winning is because you're ashamed of what you are and who you are. I want to warn you, people in the Secret Service are akin to betrayers. And it'd be easy for God. Hey, it'd be easy for the devil to convince you to betray Jesus because you're already ashamed of what you are. You see, Judas was a lost man and he was a betrayer. He was facading as a saved man. Peter, he was a Christian that knew how to serve God, but he served God afar off. He started to distance himself. He was backslidden. He was further away than what he knew he should be. As a result of it, he ends up being a betrayer. And then there's someone that said, I'll sneak around and I'll try to figure out a way I can have the best of both worlds. I'll be a part of the Secret Service. There's one last little point that I'll make and we'll be on our way for the day. I believe that there was a betrayer. And the truth is, a fellow by the name of Nicodemus was a truth rejecter. He was just a truth rejecter. The Bible says in John chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, it says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Notice, again, he comes to Jesus by night. And Nicodemus I think he betrays. He's given the truth about salvation, and he says, I don't want anything. I don't want it. Nicodemus knew what Jesus taught, and he knew it was of God. He said, I know you're a teacher come from God, but he was a bit afraid to be associated. I love it because if you ever see Jesus presenting the gospel, he pulls no punches. He said, you're not going to get baptized and get to heaven. It's not by water. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done. It's not by church membership. And I believe that Nicodemus came to Jesus and Jesus said, ye must be born again. And Nicodemus said, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. I don't know about that. You know, some people just can't handle the truth. If you can't handle the truth, you stand a real good chance of becoming a betrayer. A betrayer. See, some betray because they can't handle the non-compromising stand of Jesus. Jesus wasn't wishy-washy. They came to him and said, who do you think you are? He said, well, I'm the Son of God. What? Still true. Some people just couldn't handle that. They turned on him because they could not handle the truth. Our church, I believe the Word of God is pure and holy. I don't believe it's tainted. God's given us, and I believe the King James Bible, that we would have a pure Word of God. I can't change that. But you want to be careful, because those that cannot handle the flat out truth, they sometimes become betrayers. I think the Bible teaches that we're to give to God. I think the Bible teaches we're to tithe and be faithful about doing so. That's what God said. And if not, God said we're thieves. You say, well, that's tough. I know. I didn't write it. It's just my job to preach it. But watch out. There are some times when people cannot handle the simple truth of the Bible. They set themselves up to be betrayers of Jesus Christ. Christmas is upon us. And the truth is, so people would be mad at me, but Christmas is not about Santa Claus. Amen. It's about Jesus Christ. Amen. And Easter is not about the Easter Bunny. Amen. It's about the resurrection of Christ. Amen. And jolly old Saint Nick has always been good to me. And I've always tried to be good. And I tried to be good and not, I was nice, not naughty. But I got to tell you something. He sure has stolen a lot of Jesus's thunder through the years. But there's some people, they'll get mad at you about that. Is that wrong? Is what I said wrong? Is Easter about the bunny? Is Christmas about Santa? No. Now, if you want to see those, I would say, if you want to see those things as cartoon characters like Bugs Bunny, you go ahead. But you want to be very, very careful. There are people that will pass judgment on a church like ours that will tell the truth. I say, there's got to be something wrong with you. Is there something wrong with you if you tell the truth? Did you know that if you don't get saved, you'll die and go to hell? Well, that's offensive. Wow. It's true. So don't be offended with the truth. Did you know that preachers are to preach on sin and not to pamper people? I don't like that. Me neither. You ought to be the preacher doing it. Do you understand that Jesus... Nicodemus walked away from Jesus unwilling to accept his strong stance on salvation. Jesus said, ye must be born again. He said, well, wait a minute. I'm a ruler of the Jews. Look, I'm a smart guy. He said, yeah, you're a lost smart guy. And you'll die and go to hell if you don't get saved. According to who? Jesus said, me? Who do you think you are? The Savior? Boy, a truth rejecter. And we all say, it is so obvious. Well, look, there are a lot of things that are very scripturally obvious, but in our day and age, you can tell someone what the Bible says, and you can tell the truth, and they get upset with you. Why? Because it's not socially acceptable. It's not what they like. It doesn't go along with their program. Be careful. If you're that way, you could be a betrayer to Jesus. Like Nicodemus, he was basically a truth rejecter. Now, you can be a truth rejecter. Jesus is the truth in regard to salvation. But did you know you could be a saved person that rejects truths that are taught in the Bible because they don't fit your program? In other words, you have a Savior, but you really don't want anything about Him taking over your life and cleaning you up. You're betraying a basic doctrine of the Bible, which is there is a life that is to be lived by the Christian after they're born again that ought to be decent. So here's the story. Jesus was talking to some of his disciples in Galilee, and he told them, he used these words, he said, the Son of Man shall be betrayed. And a verse later, they were very sorry. They were very sorry. But you and I, be careful that we're not betrayers. Let's make sure that we're not lost facading as a Christian. That's what Judas was. Let's make sure that we've not distanced ourselves like Peter did from Jesus, where we were an afar off Christian. Don't be like Joseph of Arimathea, where you're part of the secret service. And then don't be a truth rejecter, like was Nicodemus, who he said, "I just reject that. I don't want to betray him. I hope you don't either." Let's not be a Judas. Let's not be a Benedict Arnold, a Tokyo Rose. Let's be loyal to Jesus Christ, to His book, to His church, the New Testament church. Let's be loyal. You'll never regret it. I've never met anybody that was loyal to that which is pure and true that regretted it. I've met many people that were disloyal to that which is true and pure, and they regretted it.